So it's been 50 years since the Clean Water Act was established, but what might surprise some Hoosiers is that Indiana now ranks as number one for having the most miles of polluted lakes and rivers. And, well, this may surprise people who enjoy the outdoors here in Indiana, but Eric Schaefer, who is the executive director of the Environmental Integrity Project, is here to talk about it. Eric, can you talk about this report and what this means for Indiana being number one on this this bad list?
Sure. That Clean Water Act from 1972 that you mentioned promised us fishable and swimmable waters by 1983. And, you know, obviously that was a stretch goal, and it's not surprising we haven't gotten all the way there. But based on state surveys, we've got 700,000 miles of rivers and streams across the U.S. that aren't fishable or swimmable, aren't meeting standards because they're too polluted, and another 11 million acres of lakes and reservoirs, lakes and reservoirs, and 19,000 square miles of bays and estuaries that are falling short. So we've clearly got a long way to go. You mentioned Indiana. I just want to clarify, the state has more than 24,000 miles of rivers and streams that are impaired by pollution in a way that makes them unsuitable for swimming or other kinds of contact recreation with the water, at least some of the time. So they are first in the country for having that much mileage that's unswimmable, looking at rivers and streams. That's not so for lakes. Indiana's doing somewhat better when it comes to lakes.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that clarification there. At least there is, there's a little bright spot there in this. What can be done to improve this? What does the report say?
That's the big question. And let me give Indiana credit for something. You have a lot of miles identified as unsuitable for swimming, because the state of Indiana does more to get out and evaluate the condition of its waters than many other states. But this is a situation where the more you look, the more you're going to find. And Indiana gets credit for trying to do a thorough and honest assessment. So I really want your listeners to hear that. One thing the state's doing, which I think is really good, is they're starting to increase the number of advisories they put out to let people know when the water in their area isn't really safe for swimming. So as to what we can do about it, we can enforce the law. We've got a lot of larger sources that get away with violating their permit limits for too long. We need to bring up to date the standards that industries have to meet. EPA set a lot of standards for industries more than 30 years ago. They were supposed to get updated as the treatment methods improved, and that hasn't happened. But the really big issue, the biggest problem, is agriculture. But after 50 years, we've grown up a very industrialized method of farming, and in particular of raising livestock. You've got farms in Indiana, the handful that produce most of the hogs in the state. Indiana's a big hog producer, that will raise 20,000 in a year on one site. That's an awful lot of manure, and way more than the surrounding farm fields can absorb as fertilizer. And all that extra manure that can't be taken up by crops, it eventually makes its way to the water. That's why you see algae blooms. That's why water becomes unsafe for swimming, and why the water itself, because the oxygen levels drop, won't be able to support fish or other wildlife.
I think a lot of people would probably be disgusted and horrified to hear that.
Well, it can get pretty gross. Your 20,000 hogs create about 10 times more waste than humans. they eat constantly, and, you know, they're supposed to because they're trying to obviously fatten them up. But if you're talking about 20,000 hogs, that's a city of 200,000 people when you think of the waste load. Except it's a city that, like a city, that doesn't have a sewage treatment plant. So, you know, imagine living next to that. It gets pretty tough. Again, I don't want to discredit farmers who are working hard to do the right thing, because I know they're out there. But when you get to that scale of factory farming, the Clean Water Act actually requires that those big operations have permits that limit their discharge of pollution, and that part of the Clean Water Act really hasn't worked very well.
Where can people go if they want to find out more about the Clean Water Act at 50 and what can be done about these things?
You can find our report at environmentalintegrity.org. We include a chart that lets you look at all the states and see how Indiana's doing against the rest.
Okay, what do you guys do at Environmental Integrity?
We're a watchdog organization, and our primary focus is making laws that are already written, already on the books, work in the way they were supposed to. So that's why we point out problems like big livestock operations supposed to have permits and don't. That we talk about that in the report. We do, though, point out that the law itself, and it's not surprising after so many years, needs to be updated. It doesn't deal with some of the problems we have today as well as it could.
Is there anything that I didn't ask that you think is important to point out?
I would just say the original law 50 years ago came to life because a lot of people were fed up with water pollution and made their voices heard. And we need the public to do that today, to let your legislators know you care, federal and state, and to get in front of the Indiana Department of Environmental Quality and, you know, encourage them to do their job. We've got a lot of good people over there working on this, but they need your support.
All right, Eric Schaefer, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, sir.